Chapter 44. For it showed that a man is at bottom a man, after all, even if it doesn't show on the outside. Well, as it turned out, this charcoal burner was just the twin of the southern Urwhite of the far future. The king presently showed him patience, and said, "An he prattle here all the day, justice will miscarry. Think ye the criminals will abide in their father's house? They are fleeing, they are not waiting. You should look to it that a party of horse be set upon their track." The woman paled slightly, but quite perceptibly, and the man looked flustered and irresolute. I said, "Come, friend, I will walk a little way with you, and explain which direction I think they would try to take. If they were merely resisters of the gabelle, or some kindred absurdity, I would try to protect them from capture. But when men murder a person of high degree and likewise burn his house, that is another matter." The last remark was for the king to quiet him. On the road the man pulled his resolution together, and began the march with a steady gait, but there was no eagerness in it. "By and by," I said, "what relation were these men to you, cousins?" He turned as white as his layer of charcoal would let him, and stopped, trembling. "Ah, my God, how know ye that?" "I didn't know it. It was a chance guess." "Poor lads, they are lost. And good lads they were too. Were you actually going yonder to tell on them?" He didn't quite know how to take that, but he said, hesitatingly, "Yes." "Then I think you are a damned scoundrel." It made him as glad as if I had called him an angel. "Say the good words again, brother. For surely ye mean that ye would not betray me and I failed of my duty." "Duty? There is no duty in the matter, except the duty to keep still and let those men get away. They've done a righteous deed." He looked pleased, and touched with apprehension at the same time. He looked up and down the road to see that no one was coming, and then said in a cautious voice, "From what land come you, brother, that you speak such perilous words, and seem not to be afraid?" "They are not perilous words, when spoken to one of my own caste, I take it. You would not tell anybody I said them?" I would be drawn asunder by wild horses first." "Well then, let me say my say. I have no fears of your repeating it. I think devil's work has been done last night upon those innocent poor people. That old baron got only what he deserved. If I had my way, all his kind should have the same luck." Fear and depression vanished from the man's manner, and gratefulness and a brave animation took their place. "Even though you be a spy, and your words a trap for my undoing, yet are they such refreshment, that to hear them again, and others like to them, I would go to the gallows happy, as having had one good feast at least in a starved life. And I will say my say now, and ye may report it, if ye be so minded. I helped to hang my neighbors for, that it were peril to my own life, to show lack of zeal in the master's cause. The others helped for none other reason. All rejoice today that he is dead, but all do go about seemingly sorrowing, and shedding the hypocrite's tear, for in that lies safety. I have said the words, I have said the words. The only ones that have ever tasted good in my mouth, and the reward of that taste is sufficient. Lead on, and ye will, be it even to the scaffold, for I am ready." There it was, you see. A man is a man, at bottom. Whole ages of abuse and oppression cannot crush the manhood clear out of him. Whoever thinks it a mistake is himself mistaken. Yes, there is plenty good enough material for a republic in the most degraded people that ever existed, even the Russians. Plenty of manhood in them even in the Germans if one could, but force it out of its timid and suspicious privacy, to overthrow and trample in the mud any throne that ever was set up and any nobility that ever supported it. We should see certain things yet, let us hope and believe. First, a modified monarchy. Till Arthur's days were done, then the destruction of the throne, nobility abolished, every member of it bound out to some useful trade, universal suffrage instituted, and the whole government placed in the hands of the men and women of the nation there to remain. Yes, there was no occasion to give up my dream yet a while. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.